Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Enjoyed the time. 404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond text lines open for you, as are the phones. You can find me on Twitter at Willie P Style. That's IEP Style. And also the radio station at 929 The Game. When Jarvis and I were talking during the last break, I asked him, because there are a lot of people who are having certain habits change as a result of the coronavirus stoppage. I hate saying coronavirus pandemic, but just the stoppage of play, stoppage of life, people's lives being altered, and the stay-at-home type things that have caused us to have to alter our very existence. And I asked him if there is one food in particular that you are eating now that you weren't eating before the coronavirus pandemic hit. And he said he had to think about it, and he said it was Apple Jacks. He wasn't a big cereal guy before the pandemic, but he bought a big jug of Apple Jacks, as they were like 99 cents when he went to the grocery store about a week and a half ago for the doomsday food shopping trip trek. And he says he's been enjoying Apple Jacks. The one food that I have been consuming more of than I wasn't necessarily doing before is just regular, you know, homemade Pop Secret popcorn. And it's the weirdest thing because, you know, the one thing that people always say about popcorn is, you know, it's probably one of the healthiest snacks for you. And lo and behold, it's kept me sane because, again, you know, the act of actually popping popcorn is an activity in itself. And I know that we are all very starved for amusement, regardless of where we are in our very lives here. But I certainly think about doing that now instead of, say, grabbing a candy bar or grabbing something that would be less healthy. Ask the question on Twitter at Willie P Style. A couple people have said PB&J, and one guy said, "Be sure not the Uncrustables." I got a case of Uncrustables inside my freezer, so that's one that I've gone to. And again, that was something that happened since the coronavirus has taken place. Not exactly something that I was doing beforehand. One response was string cheese. Lamont tweets me at Willie P Style, homemade brown rice and beans. That's okay. And Daddy Ice 2 goes, bourbon is a food, right? That would imply you didn't have bourbon beforehand. That's one thing for me that has not changed. The intake of that was the same as it was beforehand as it is now. Willie P in the building again, in for John Chuckery here tonight. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Thanks again to all who have been a part of the program today, including Jason Longshore and Howard Balzer, who, if you missed those interviews, I will repurpose some of their comments here about 15 minutes from right now. But as we sit here to begin our final hour together, it's time to bring you what's happening.
Peter, what?
What?
What's happening?
So we started the day in Falcons land hearing a little bit about what was going on with some of the restructured contracts involving Atlanta trying to basically make the cut when it comes to the salary cap. We knew that there was going to have to be something of a restructuring with the deals of Matt Ryan, Jake Matthews, and Alan Bailey. Well, today we found out just exactly how they were going to restructure Alan Bailey's deal. We're getting him another year. Alan Bailey signed now to a one-year, $4.5 million extension, which includes a $3.25 million signing bonus. The fact that Bailey is still on this roster probably telegraphs a little bit the way the Falcons feel about the edge rush talent in the NFL draft. Not necessarily something that they look at and say, oh my goodness, we feel that way about Alan Bailey, but it's as almost if you can pay Bailey less money than you would have to commit to, say, a first-round pass rusher you probably don't think very much of, which probably lends more credence to the fact that maybe Clavion Chaisson isn't the selection for the Falcons at number 16 in the NFL draft. The deal that he had currently would have cost a team under $6 million in the 2020 cap. That extension that he gets now for another year that has him signed through the 2021 season shaves about another $1 million off of the cap space this year. So again, every little bit helps when it comes to the cost-cutting moves the Falcons are making. And because of that, you were able to push some more of that bonus money back a year. But as we've said, this is the kind of thing where if you do too much of this, eventually it's going to all kind of come home to roost. Matt Ryan's restructure reduced basically the now $1.05 million from $8 million, which means $7 million of that was converted into a signing bonus and has been spread out over the rest of the years of his contract, which means there'll be more dead money on his deal later on in order to save some space up front. Same kind of thing has been done with Jake Matthews. His cap number for 2020 is now $3.55 million, as opposed to it beforehand, which would have been about $10.5 million. I know that's way too many numbers for a radio segment, but just to kind of outline you why these particular moves are being made, it's all to try and save the Falcons more money and give them the ability to sign more players. Speaking of signing players, they added one more today, and that's former XFL DC defender Kari Lee. The tight end comes over from the XFL. He has played on three different NFL teams. The Bears, Buffalo Bills, and the Detroit Lions have all been members of his services. He was last in the league with the Bills in 2018. 28 years old, former fifth-round pick. He didn't exactly do a lot over the limited XFL season, just 8 catches and 91 yards, but did have 2 touchdowns. He could be somebody who you look at as possibly the third tight end on the depth chart, somebody who could be brought in for more blocking assignments than you might be able to get out of Jaden Graham and the newly acquired Hayden Hurst for the Falcons at the tight end position. This couples with a couple of the moves that they've made over the course of the last couple of days, including Leroy Reynolds, who was signed earlier this week to basically be the Kamal Ishmael, the linebacker version, somebody who can be part of that depth on special teams. And going back to something we talked about earlier on, if you want to focus on linebacker in the draft, if you're the Atlanta Falcons, that's all very well and good. They must really believe in Foye Oluokun's playmaking ability, because they did not really sign somebody to be the like-for-like replacement for Devondre Campbell. But of course, that now answers the question. Begs the question: who plays on the other side of Foye and on the other side of Debo? There really isn't that guy on the roster right now. So if anything, the Falcons are going to try to bank on somebody at linebacker in the opening 2 picks. But as we've said, neither Jarvis nor I feel very strongly about anybody at the linebacking position, other than if you're going to go up and try and get Isaiah Simmons from wherever he might slot in as to be a linebacker safety hybrid. Maybe they'll try and put Keanu Neal in more linebacker situations as kind of an undersized linebacker and play more Devontae KZ at the safety position. There's a whole bunch of ways they feel like they can make that happen, but playing with 3 traditional linebackers might not be something you see a lot of from the Falcons. They might try to do something more in the nickel package as their base defense. Elsewhere in the league, Bruce Arians still thinks that Tom Brady can throw the deep ball. Tom Brady had his first press conference yesterday in front of reporters via a teleconference. He believes he fits in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense very well in comments he made yesterday.
I've done, and playing quarterback for a long time, that's what I do is I watch film and I study and I, you know, I try to learn, I try to grow, I try to evolve every year. And, you know, I've watched this offense over a long period of time with a lot of different quarterbacks have a lot of success. And it's a great offense for the quarterbacks, it's a great offense for the receivers, for the tight ends, for the running backs. There's been a lot of great players who have been a part of, you know, working with Coach Arians. And, you know, again, for me, it's for me to come in and understand the things I got to learn to be successful within what we're all trying to do and, you know, what we collectively do well. It's not about what one player does well, and great offenses aren't about one player. Great offenses are about every guy being on the same page and playing with confidence and anticipation.
I know that offenses aren't about one player, Tom, but there isn't one offensive lineman that I feel confident standing in front of. I know people make a lot of assumptions about the Atlanta Falcon offensive line. I'm looking at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers depth chart when it comes to what their offensive line looks like in 2020. Donovan Smith, Ali Marpet, Ryan Jensen, Alex Kappa, and Joe Haig. That's what Arlad says is the updated depth chart for their 2020 season. Other guys on that roster include Anthony Fabiano, the former South Carolina lineman Zach Bailey, and Brad Seaton. It kind of reminds you of the roster of the movie Major League. I don't know half these you-know-what guys. I don't know half these blinking guys. So I'm looking at that and being like, is that's my offensive line? That's my offensive line? I'm not exactly that encouraged by that, Tom. If I'm the Buccaneers, I'm going out in the draft and I'm drafting five offensive linemen because I don't know any of these people. So if you are a 43-year-old mobility question quarterback right now when it comes to Brady, I'm looking at that and saying you got to have a lot of lookup blocks in 2020. But again, those people who want to be all of on the Brady train, feel free to go right ahead. Also, the third most prominent entry into the NBA draft happened today. Former Dayton superstar Obi Toppin headed to the NBA draft, joining Jones of Duke and former Georgia standout Anthony Edwards. Chelsea says she is eating Reese's eggs more. Watch those Reese's eggs, Chelsea. Watch those. She's eating those more often now since the coronavirus has hit, as far as that goes. So we'll continue to share some of your thoughts about that on the radio here. If you missed our conversations,
Peter,
with Atlanta United analyst Jason Longshore and NFL insider Howard Balzer, I'll replay you some of what they had to say, including when Jason thinks the MLS might be coming back and how Howard shares my pessimism regarding Tom Brady. Willie P in for John Chuck Green from the Mobile Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and always available via the radio.com app on smart speakers and smartphones. Willie P is in the building, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and the radio.com app. Somebody on the Salmon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929 text in. They were laughing about watching the Reese's Eggs. And the only reason I say that is because there was something that I was triggered by. If you have not watched this season of Curb Your Enthusiasm, and I was talking about this with Jarvis during the break, it is impeccably unbelievable. Like, it is, if you're looking for something to watch over the course of these next, like, the Curb season is one of the best that they've had. And, you know, for somebody who has put forth as much television as Larry David has, it's one of the funniest seasons. And there is a scenario in the show where he's talking to a girl. The actress actually is I don't know if you remember the sitcom Grounded for Life. It was the main female character from the from that show. I can't think of the actress's name off the top of my head, but basically he's dating a woman who had lost a bunch of weight, and Larry sees a picture of her on the woman's phone before she lost the weight, and he uses the term yo-yoing, is to basically say that this person either drops weight and gains it right back because she has an addiction to snacking. So I was saying be a little worried about having a yo-yo situation there, although I wasn't trying to sit there and say that about the person who texted that in, but I just, that's why I was so much laughing about the recent things. I was thinking about that reference from the show, Larry David's Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's a fantastic season, and one of the main story arcs is that Larry actually, I don't want to spoil the whole thing, but basically opens a store out of spite for another individual on the show. Again, it's all very lighthearted fun, and hope that you guys are are enjoying yourself over the course of the next couple of days. There is a particular meme that was put out also by somebody when I asked the question, what's one food item you've eaten more of since the coronavirus shutting the world down that you didn't eat before? My response was homemade popcorn. The Outcast 99 tweets me at Willie P style with the meme of from the movie Bridesmaids, where the girl is taking all of the snack foods off the shelves and just pouring them in the empty cart, which again is something that we saw a lot of over the course of our time here with grocery stores. And again, like I said before, don't take more than your fair share. Let's all be civilized here when it comes to that over the course of the next couple of days, because the last thing we need is chaos. I said last night on the air that one of the quotes that I've thought of a lot over the course of the past couple of days is courage is grace under fire. And I think that we all need to kind of experience some of that in our lives as we roll along here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Earlier in the show, I had a chance to talk with both Jason Longshore and Howard Balzer. Jason, of course, is a familiar voice for those of you who listen to the radio station on a regular basis. Our Atlanta United analyst who joined us on the WaitForIt.com hotline. And he had this to say about some of the things that are going on in terms of the Atlanta United season and the way things have gone on. Obviously, only two MLS games in, and one of those brought about the end, or at least the suspension of the season of Joseph Martinez. Though there were some encouraging signs that we got at the end of last week when we found out that his ACL surgery was going to be performed by Dr. Freddie Fu, who was an innovator in terms of ACL surgeries. He was the person who had the track record of getting Zlatan Ibrahimovic back to form a lot sooner than originally expected. And Jason Longshore believes that that particular facet of Joseph's surgery might do the same thing for Atlanta United's number 7.
I mean, the guy is going to get on the field as fast as he possibly can, and you know, you hate to be missing games right now, but in terms of Joseph potentially playing games in 2020, he might be able to get a few in now. We'll have to see.
And because of that, now, you know, based on when the season starts, not to say that you'd be rooting for the season to go further off into the summer before a restart is happening, that'd be one thing that would be an encouraging sign for the Five Stripes if they're able to get him back to square. And one thing that also is a big part of, again, I hate to call it a positive or even a silver lining, but Atlanta United was very wounded going into the coronavirus stoppage of play. They were basically taking left backs off the Atlanta United 2 roster to try and implement them inside the back line, and things were not as positive as they once were for them in that regard. They should have many of their principal players back by the time play is resumed. Of course, keeping in mind there could be some additional injuries that pop up between now and the resumption of play. But as of right now, we know that it seems like they should have close to a full boat by the time they get back. We asked Jason kind of what the status is on how the league is overseeing just exactly what they want to do about coming back to play?
In terms of MLS, they want to play games in front of fans as much as possible. I think they would ideally not have any games behind closed doors, because you're talking about different economics with MLS. They want the game day revenue because it's such a huge chunk of their overall revenue. They don't have that big TV contract like other leagues in the U.S. do.
And because of that, they don't necessarily get the same benefit. Although, again, there is some benefit to being first in line, because you'll be occupying a space with very little, if any, competition. The NFL has taken this a step further because they've kept the draft going in their minds. And because of that, they were basically saying, look, you know, we can still do this thing in a mobile fashion, and we'll do it in a way that does not jeopardize anybody when it comes to social distancing practices and things of that nature. We'll keep people at their homes, connect with them via video conferencing for the visual aspect of it on TV, and you will still be able to conduct your draft as you would normally, just handing in your picks virtually. While that might not necessarily jive with the GMs, it's a smart business practice from the NFL, because you're occupying a space that, like I said before with MLS, would be largely without competition in the sports world. So there might be some benefit for the MLS gaining some extra eyeballs, but Jason doesn't seem to believe that those extra eyeballs would equate to people in the long-lasting sense, and it would not outweigh what you would get from people who are already fans of MLS who fill the stadiums of the member clubs, especially in Atlanta, where, as you know, we have the top 10 most attended games in the history of MLS all right here in our city. Sports Radio 99 The Game and 99thegame.com, radio.com app. Willie P in for John Chuckery. I also had the chance earlier today to speak with Howard Balzer. He is a longtime NFL reporter, somebody who votes on the Hall of Fame. The feeling around the league is that while the Atlanta Falcons did make more moves than many believe that they would, his perception and the perception of a lot of people nationally is that while they were able to cure some ills, there is some skepticism based on how much impact those moves might have on the Falcons' bottom line in 2020.
They've done, you know, decent in some areas, and of course they're, you know, rolling the dice on some players. Obviously rolling the dice on Todd Gurley. Certainly Laquan Treadwell, if he ever gets it, could be a guy that helps the passing game, but he hasn't done that yet. Not a lot risk there, but you just do wonder what he's going to be able to supply. You know, Dante Fowler, pretty good pass rusher, not very consistent, and so you just wonder if he's going to be that every down player that you really need.
And I'm going to ask this question now on the Twitter right now, at Willie P. Style and at 929 The Game on Twitter. You know, what represents an acceptable season for Falcons running back Todd Gurley? Like, does he have to hit 1,000 yards? Does he have to touch the ball 200 times? Does he have to get double-digit touchdowns? What is the benchmark for him when it comes to what you want to see from him in order to judge his success? I mean, I'd like to see him get 1,000 yards. I don't know how feasible that is. I'd love to see him touch the ball 200 times. I don't know how feasible that is. I'd like to see him score 11, 12, 13 touchdowns. I don't know how feasible that is. And that as people asking the question, is he better than what you discarded? Is he better than what you got rid of with Devontae Freeman? I think he's a better running back, because I think he's a better built running back, and I think there's more upside from him. But not a lot of people league-wide are impressed with his ability. And again, there's the homegrown aspect when it comes to the fact that he played at Georgia. So you have the sentimentality impact that I think if the fact that he signed here means that a lot of Falcon fans who are also Bulldog fans will grade him on a much more lenient curve. But there will be a lot of people, I'm sure, who look at this from a very critical eye and say, okay, is this guy really better than what we put out last year with Devontae? I think that's a very valid question. I'd like to think that Gurley is capable of exceeding what you had from Devontae Freeman, but I'm not 100% convinced. And I want to be convinced because I love Todd as a player. I love Todd as a person. But the knee is the knee. And the knee is something that you can't overlook. Speaking of something you can't overlook Tom Brady's age. And that's the one thing I keep saying about whether or not Brady is going to work out in Tampa Bay. I think his age, his offensive line, you can tell me all you want about the skill position players around him, the wide receivers, the running backs, and the defense. I don't know if the line is there, and Howard Balzer doesn't think that the arm is there for him to have the opportunity to be a difference maker for the Buccaneers in 2020.
I think it's up in the air. I mean, everybody's betting on him now. All of a sudden, the odds are, oh, there's a Super Bowl caliber team and all that. Well, you know, we'll see. We'll see. I'm not saying they can't be a pretty darn good team, but I don't think it's automatic either.
I mean, would it genuinely surprise you if the Buccaneers finished third in this division? Would it surprise you if they finished fourth? I don't think so. It wouldn't surprise anybody if they won it, if they were able to beat out the New Orleans Saints, because everybody and their brother want to think that TB12 is going to have some sort of resurrection because he had a bad year last year because of, quote, deficient offensive products. Look at him last year. He was deficient in his own right. Maybe part of the reason why they didn't want to give him $25 million in New England is because they saw it. They saw his deterioration, and Bill said, nah. And what's the one thing I always say about Bill Belichick? He knows when your milk expires better than you do. I think the Buccaneers in December will be crowing over spoiled milk. Willie P. in the building, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John Chuckery off tonight. He's back tomorrow. We'll come back, put a ball on the show, and give you a little bit of the flavor that we've been giving you over the course of the first 2.5, 3.5 hours here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and always available via the radio.com app via smartphones and smart speakers.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.